So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
One of the best food scenes in the country, right here in Minnesota. And nobody knows it like magazine food critic and James Beard Award finalist Jason DeRussia. Now bringing you the most interesting people and hottest trends. Let's listen in as DeRussia Eats.
Episode 12 of DeRussia Eats begins with a simple question. Where's the beef? It's not a Clara Barton. It's not a... Was that her name? Clara? It was Clara, right? The old lady, seasoned veteran lady from those Wendy's commercials in the 1980s. No, we're going all in on beef on this episode of DeRussia Eats. We start with My Burger, a burger restaurant that opened at a time where you thought, do we really need another burger restaurant? It's opened by a guy with a family pedigree in restaurants, John Abdo. He talks about what it's like to grow up in restaurants, and then why he thought it'd be a good idea to open a burger restaurant. They got a bunch of them now, and they're terrific. My Burger is the name of that. And then we're talking to a farmer. Yeah. Matt Meyer is the owner of Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed. Grass-fed beef. I first was introduced to Thousand Hills at restaurants. They used to bring, and you'd know, you're like, oh, this is fancy. He talks about how much grass-fed beef has changed over the decades. You can find them at co-ops. They're selling them at local grocery stores, and the flavor is different and better. And Matt talks about why. And I had one of his bavette steaks for dinner last night, made it at home just on a cast iron pan. Oh, the flavor. So good. So good. And for a lot of us, at least trying to introduce some of that, I mean, I like corn-fed beef too, I'm not going to lie. But mixing it up, supporting farmers who are taking care of the land, a lot of us are really interested in that. So where's the beef? Matt Meyer and John Abdo have answers for you in this episode of DeRussia Eats. Jason DeRussia with you on Drive Time. It is time for DeRussia Eats. Every week we visit with chefs and restaurant owners and bartenders and farmers. And actually, over our next hour, we're going to have a conversation with a local president of a restaurant group with a family story based in the service industry. I will guarantee you that so many of you have been touched by this family and their history in restaurants in this town. And then coming up at 4:35, one of the nation's best reporters when it comes to chain restaurants is actually
works right here out of the Twin Cities, writes for a trade publication. But often we talk about family-owned restaurants around here, but it's chain restaurants that, well, let's be honest, we probably eat there more, spend more money there. A lot of us had our first jobs at one of those kind of restaurants, so I look forward to that conversation coming up with Jonathan Mays at 5:35. But we or 4:35 rather. I'm so confused. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. What even is time? Our guest for DeRussia Eats today is the president of My Burger, and we're so glad. So glad to have you here, John Abdo.
Hey, Jason. Thank you for having me. It sounds super important when you say president.
Right?
Of it.
I had to look it up. I'm like, what is your title actually at My Burger?
So on my business card, it actually says Chief Burger Enthusiast.
That's good.
You know, CBE. I kind of put it after my name. Like, what's this? And I just really enjoy burgers. I'm really excited about burgers, everything about it.
Your family has been involved in restaurants for decades in the Twin Cities, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did your dad start does this go back even deeper for the Abdos?
It was with my parents. They had multiple concepts throughout the year. They had a pizza joint in, I think, Ridgedale back in the day. They had an actual concept. They had four locations serving Mediterranean, specifically Lebanese-type food back in the 70s and early 80s.
Oh, wow.
But they had four restaurants and four kids.
Larry and Carol.
My mom was running it back in the day. It was called Pocket Pies. So anybody that was around, they had one in St. Anthony and I think like Roseville or Maplewood area. We grew up on the east side, so
made
closer
sense
to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been in and out of it. Stuff at the State Fair, stuff at the Renaissance Festival. And then...
Do you remember as a kid, like hanging out in the kitchens and in the rest? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was born in July, and my mom says she remembers me as like a three-week-old baby being stacked next to the number 10 tomato cans at the Renaissance Festival while she was in the kitchen, like, prepping the food. Like, that's how it was. We were in it day one.
Your family does, like, the ice at the State Fair now.
Yep.
The Big Fat Bacon is one of your relatives. Like, it's amazing. Is it fun to grow up around that? Is it weird? Like, do friends expect you to give them free food and stuff? Like, how does that work out?
So my sister and my brother-in-law and my cousin are more involved in bacon. So luckily, that kind of like stays away.
You don't have to,
I don't have to deal with too much. If I'm there and I see a friend, I usually sneak back to the griddle, pull a piece off, and I'll be like, here you go, take your bacon.
But when you were a kid, was it weird to be in this business, or is it a fun business for a kid to grow up around?
We had an absolute blast. Like, some of my best memories are out at the fair, even setting up for the fair. And as we got older, you know, we took on more responsibility. And for us, it was just super important to be out there with our family. And everybody was together. And it's like, you know, going up north and you spend like, you know, a chunk of your summer up there. That's what we did. We spent our time out at the State Fair and just had an absolute blast.
Tell us what led to the very first My Burger. And now you have a number of them here in the Twin Cities.
But correct.
What got this started?
So back in, 2003 and 2004, my family was redeveloping the building that our first location is, you know, just on the other side of this block, Quebec.
Six Quebec, yeah.
And
I've told you I love that building.
It's an awesome building, man.
And like that, my wife is like, that always was the building I wanted to live in because it's right in the heart of downtown.
Yep.
In this super cool, like, renovation of an older building.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. My brother would sell it saying, you're in the postcard, because people were like, I want to see the postcard. And my brother Paul's like, no, you're in the postcard, man. Like, you're right next to Wells Fargo Center, right next to Rand Tower. So they were redeveloping it, and they had a guy that was going to open a hot dog and hamburger joint, and he was a local operator, had a good track record, and then backed out like last minute. And my dad was just like not happy about it and just said, you know what? I'm going to fill the space, and I'm just going to create a concept on my own. And I've still got the notebook of his ideas and his names for it until he landed on My Burger, circled it, started, and then wrote a business plan on a flight to teach a entrepreneurship class at the University of Notre Dame. Like, it all happened. Like, he got the call in the terminal, wrote the business plan, pitched it to the class. They're like, you're crazy. And then one girl in the audience said, it sounds like In-N-Out. And he was like, here's $100. Thanks for the research. And that was it. Boom. It was in April, and it opened in November. That's how fast it happened.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I jumped in board, you know, a couple years after that, and then worked to basically understand the business of burgers and then expanding, starting really in a real way in 2011 with the location in Uptown. And now we've got 8 across the Twin Cities.
John Abdo is the chief burger enthusiast at My Burger.
Thank you.
I do. I feel like there is this thing that a younger generation of leaders has where they don't like the president or CEO title,
right?
Where there's always some sort of goofy title.
Yeah, I mean,
is it because, like, you don't want to seem egotistical, or you don't want to seem better than your teammates, or what?
Yeah, I think you have to get comfortable with it, you know, especially with the people that you're seeing and working with every day. I mean, I was technically the CEO in 2011.
Yeah.
You know, in 2011, I'm 29 years old.
Right.
Like, do I have the right to call myself the CEO of something? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I kind of came up with that as a joke, and then it's kind of stuck around. But, yeah. I mean, I signed the documents, president, CEO. So
legally.
I do that, yeah.
It is interesting. I think it's great. Like, having a little bit of sense of humor and understanding, especially for you at a young age where you came at it. Did you struggle with that? Where, like, oh, am I a nepo baby? I mean, that's what everyone talks about now, the nepotism baby.
Yeah, that was
all over Hollywood. They weren't using that term at that time, but
yeah, no, they weren't. Yeah, you know, I did. I at the beginning, it was like, you know, did I earn what's going on right now? And the reality of it is I learned every position from the ground up in that restaurant, starting with the downtown location. And even today, I mean, we had a promotion last Wednesday. I was making French fries and doing dishes with the crew in the restaurant on Wednesday night last week. And that's my favorite part of the job. Like full stop right there is working alongside the crew. But if I do that too much, then nobody's doing my job.
Right. Someone has to be thinking about strategy. When you guys started and when you expanded even, I think there was some pushback at this idea, like, do we really need another burger restaurant?
Yeah, it was, I think, kind of like the second coming of, like, burger concepts, and, like, sliders were still big back then, and all these restaurants.
Smash Burger was spreading.
Exactly. And yeah, and I think the idea is, you know, the white space isn't necessarily do we need more burgers, but it's like, can you provide an experience and a level of hospitality with a quality product that you can trust in is going to be consistent and get it fast and get out the door?
Sometimes as entrepreneurs or innovators, I think people think, like, you have to come up with, it has to be different.
Right.
But I don't know if that's true. Like, I feel like you could put My Burgers in communities that have plenty of other burgers.
Yeah.
But, like, you could put a My Burger, you could put a Red Cow, you could put, you know, people love burgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all those concepts are different enough, but it's like, how different do people want? Like, you're looking for dinner, people want a burger.
Yeah, and I think a part of it is just being out there and being just having exposure. People get familiar with it. And if they don't go to one of the bigger chains 1 out of 10 times and they come to us, that's a huge percentage of business that we can get. Like, I looked at the number once, and it was like $72 billion in burger sales. I mean, if we get like 0.001% of that, we're like, everything is great, man. That's all we need.
John Abdo is the head of My Burger, 8 locations throughout the Twin Cities. We're going to take a break. We'll talk about some of the other restaurants that the family's involved in, some of the accolades that have came to My Burger.
Yep.
And how, like, when you are a multi-unit, when you're I'm sure you don't like the term chain, but you're sort of a chain restaurant.
Yep.
How do you keep the quality up? How do you innovate? What are people looking for when they go out to eat? We'll talk about all of those things. It's 4:18, Drive Time with Duresha. Coming right back. Talking to John Abdo from My Burger about all the times I run into his parents walking around downtown. I ran into your dad in the Skyway.
Yep, yep.
And then I ran into your dad and mom walking down the street when I was on my way here to CCO. They're at work every day still,
every day,
right?
Yeah, five days a week, sometimes more.
So you're in a family business. You've got... You're running My Burger.
Correct.
But your brother Corey runs...
The Nicollet Island Inn. Yep. We've owned that since 2004. So actually, basically, my parents took over ownership in the same month that the My Burger opened downtown. And Corey's been the general manager, I think, for 5 years. And he's been there for probably almost 10.
Is it still Lobster Week? I'm sure, like, you'll get a bonus, like, if
promoted
that.
Can I please talk about Lobster Week
right now?
Yes. Yes, you've got until Sunday.
See?
And they're selling, you got to buy the tickets ahead of time, but it's an absolutely decadent lobster meal in the middle of weather like
at
this.
At a great, the price is great.
Fantastic value.
The Nicollet Island Inn is sort of my sneaky bar.
Yeah.
Like, it's often not jam-packed, although sometimes you go there, it's a wedding weekend, you're like, oh, you're here with people for a wedding. That's pretty fun, too.
It is a lot of fun. But a lot of celebrations.
Great, it's a great bar.
Yeah.
It's great bourbon selection.
I mean, Corey is running that thing like it's a bourbon bar. I mean, that's how I think that's how he's looking at it.
It's a little sneaky, like not everyone knows. So now I told everyone.
There you go.
Now
well,
I
hey,
ruined
that's
it.
Good. Send him in. But he's in all these, you know, groups online, Facebook and stuff like that.
Oh,
and
I
the
know.
Guys that know, know.
Yes.
And they show up and they're, you know, texting Corey and he's sending photos of a new bottle they got in. And
I get mad when Corey wins these auctions, these raffles. Like liquor stores, you kind of register and they draw names and you see Corey win. You're like, come on. Man,
yep.
Corey's got enough.
He's
help
one of few. He's one of few at 10-10. He knows the guys at 10-10, and they've done a lot of stuff together, bourbon dinners and such.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. And then your other brother,
Paul. Yep.
Does the real estate side of it.
Yep, he's doing the real estate development. So right now we're building multifamily stuff and a few other smaller properties. But back in the day, in the early 2000s, it was retail. So Walgreens, Starbucks, stuff like that. And you know, in 2008, 2009, the whole world changed. So it's been kind of a slug back to be like, what makes sense to jump into now? But restaurants have been consistent.
And then you have a sister also, right?
Yep, my sister Mandy.
Right.
Yep. And she helps out. She helps me with my burger just to kind of keep my sanity. So she does a lot of the guest-facing stuff and then helps coordinate our food truck. And then she is just super busy with board, nonprofit, philanthropic type work. Total all-star when it comes to that stuff.
Does it – I mean, the reason I kind of – stretch that out is because I think it's interesting how you work with your family, but everyone sort of has their thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Does that keep everyone from fighting all the time or?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, at the fair, when we're all together, there's all, you know, tensions are raised because everybody's on low sleep and a lot of stress going on. But during the majority of the year, when we're not always just on top of each other, it's a lot easier to talk to each other about the businesses. And then at the same time, you know, you can provide some advice or you're just like, hey, man, I don't want to talk work right now. Let's talk family stuff. How are the kids?
Inflation and the cost of food, we all see it at the grocery store.
Yep.
I imagine it hits you guys, too.
Yeah. Yeah. December was just brutal. In November, the price of our French fries went up 40%. I am not joking. That's a real number. Like October 31st to November 1st, our French fries went up 40%. And then lettuce was going crazy. Tomatoes were going crazy. And it's weather related. It's freight related. It's worker related. It's kind of everything. They've started to even out now, finally.
Do you raise prices or how do you deal with it?
Yeah, we did. We raised the price in November, which was the third price raise that we took in 2022. And we do not like raising our price. We do not want people complaining and saying that it's not worth the value that we're asking for. But in order to make, you know, our margin and to stay in business, we have to do it.
People notice it.
Not everybody notices it. Yeah, yeah, it's fascinating to see who does and who does not. We've got our location in Wayzata, and we get more comments in Wayzata than any other part of the Twin Cities.
Oh, the rich people are the cheapest. The way you get rich is by noticing when my burger raises your price.
You're not the first person to say that. Yeah. It's funny though. But then, you know, you go on campus at the U and these college kids just hand over their card or they use Apple Pay and it's like, they have no idea.
No issues.
What it costs. Yeah. They're just like, I just want a double and a shake. And you're like, dude, that's $22. They're like, yeah, what? Who cares?
Wow. John, that is not how I lived during college, but
me either.
Is this how my kids are going to live? Like,
really good question. Your kids are good. I'm not worried about that.
Oh my goodness. You guys are in Uptown in by the stadium.
Yep.
Minnetonka, Wayzata, Macroveland in St. Paul, Richfield too. Minneapolis, St. Paul magazine just put you on the top 50.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Very cool. I mean, we did not expect that to happen. I can just put that out there clearly.
Do you think because you don't, when you're multi-unit, you don't get the respect or like you don't get the respect for the quality of your stuff?
I think people just look at it differently.
Or they forget about you or whatever.
Or sometimes, you know.
Critics, we sometimes get distracted by the shiny thing, you know.
But the critics in town know that we're local and that we're family owned.
True.
But a lot of people that live here don't. And that's what we're working on, is getting that message out there that we are local and family owned, but we're a chain. And we have 8 locations. We're not going to deny that.
Do you want more?
Yes.
Do you want to expand out of Minnesota or out of the Twin Cities?
Eventually, yeah, out of the Twin Cities first, but we've got some time before that happens. And then, hey, eventually if it works out and things are going well, outside of Minnesota is certainly not out of the question. But we see our growth story a little more similar to an In-N-Out versus a McDonald's. To use kind of two examples.
Slower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family-owned, deliberate, and making sure that when we open a location, it's going to do well day one.
Do people care, you think, that it's family-owned, that it's a Minnesota family-owned business?
When they find out, they do.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. When I'm in the dining room and I tell the story about it, and then I'm like, it's family-owned, and like usually they look at me like, is it your family? And I say, yeah, it is my family. And they're like, because you're talking like, you know, right. You're affiliated. And I'm like, yep. And then once they know, they're like, man, we loved it. But now we love it even more just knowing that.
It's interesting, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It gives that extra credibility to, I met one of the owners. They checked in on us, made sure that we enjoyed the experience. We're coming back. We're telling our friends.
All right. Top three restaurants you like to visit when you're not eating your own burgers.
I knew you were going to ask this. Yeah. So frequency-wise, Monte Carlo is number one. Uh-huh. I've been going there since I was a kid.
Yes.
It's just one of those classics. Absolutely. With my family, Brasa in Northeast.
Mm-hmm.
We lived downtown until we moved at the end of 2021, and that was a regular go-to. And then special occasion celebrations with my wife, Kelly Jo. It's either Spoon and Stable or Murray Steakhouse.
Great list.
Yep. We love
Can't
it.
Argue with any of those.
I appreciate that.
That's terrific stuff. All the success.
Thank you.
I love your family. I think you're doing a great job. My burger is terrific. So
thank you for that.
Maple Grove.
Yep. We're working on it.
That's
we'll take over the Wahlburgers.
Wahlburgers. All right. Very good. John Abdo, My Burger. Check it out. They're all over the Twin Cities. And now you know. Now you know it's family owned and you met the guy. You can say you know the owner. You heard him on Drive Time with Rush.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation. We're innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
DeRussia Eats continues. Here's your host, Jason DeRussia.
It is time for DeRussia Eats. We do this every Tuesday, and we do it with the thanks to the Minnesota Pork Board, who brings us DeRussia Eats on Tuesdays. Today, we're talking beef. I did ask the pork board. I'm like, you're cool with beef ranchers and farmers, right? They're like, we love each other.
Protein.
All on team protein. Exactly. Our guest today is Matt Meyer, the owner of Thousand Hills Grass-Fed Beef and a farmer and a rancher here in Minnesota. Matt, it's so great to have you in studio.
Well, thank you for having me. It's kind of intimidating being in the studio.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up with my dad doing chores, going home with Cannon.
Man.
I know I'm aging myself, but...
It's intimidating for you. Imagine for me. And, like, I have to be the caretaker of this legacy without blowing the thing up, you know?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Well, we know that part of the beauty of WCCO Radio is reaching all over the state. And we know that our farmers and our greater Minnesota, the small town, kind of the backbone of the state, has always had our back. So it's fun to, when I decided I wanted to do food segments, it was important to me to also bring in farmers. Because eating out or cooking at home, you know, the grocery store, the co-op is part of it, for sure. But this food comes from somewhere. And don't you think, since you guys launched, you founded as Thousand Hills in 2003, do you think people are more aware about the farms behind our food system now?
Oh, no question. Not only are they more aware, but they're also looking to find where their food is coming from. Consumers, we find, want transparency. They want to know where their food's coming from. They want to know the practices that go into raising that food. And, you know, that's an exciting time for us because we're an open book and we want to share our protocol, based on regenerative agriculture to all consumers.
Thousand Hills started with your farm. Were you the first?
I was not the founder.
You weren't the
founder. I got involved a few years in, and then was partnering.
Was it in Becker? Is that where it started?
It started in Cannon Falls.
In Cannon Falls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, along with, you know, Lawrence Meats in Cannon Falls was our first processor and still main part of what we're doing.
Powerhouse, incredible
processors. They are. They do great work, especially for what we call niche programs like ours. They've really got a national footprint as far as a reputation in what they do. And so, yeah, started in Cannon Falls, and then I got involved, and I had a building in Becker, and I was commuting to Cannon Falls from Clearwater, Minnesota, decided we need to move to Becker, so all of our warehousing office cooler freezer is in Becker.
In Becker.
Yeah.
And your farm, though, is in Clearwater?
Just across the river in Clearwater. Which happens to be where I was.
Stearns or Wright? Which county are you in?
It depends on, you know, at work, I'm in Sherburne, but at home, I'm in Wright County.
All right.
So, you know, I've got a foot in each county.
That's right. You get your exposure to all of the different county governments.
Definitely. Yeah.
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 Matt Myers with Thousand Hills. And what makes there are many things that make Thousand Hills different. But your focus on 100% grass-fed beef is how you first came to my attention in a time that my family was exploring and eating almost exclusively grass-fed beef. So I'm very familiar with eating it, but still today I think a lot of people are not. So tell me kind of how you ended up in 100% grass-fed.
Okay, well, we're going to have to go back to my youth then. Hope we got some time.
Right, yeah. We'll just run this right through till 6.
All right, great. I was raised on a multi-species farm, really grass-based, and really loved it. My dad, however, was a small farm. It was 120 acres. It wasn't enough to support the family, so he worked in a factory. And me and my sisters, I was the only boy, we were in charge of the farm. And I loved it, and we learned a lot. I was involved in 4-H and just close to nature. It's a beautiful part of the state. I mean, rolling hills, water, ponds, streams, you know. And like I said, I was involved in 4-H. By the way, my crowning achievement in 4-H was the 1976 egg-laying chicken state champion. So,
hey, that's pretty good.
I was happy.
That's pretty good.
And I could see that money was always tight growing up. We always ate very well, but money was very tight. So no one had to convince me to go to school. My normal schedule was in high school was to, you know, go to school, do chores in the morning, go to school, come home, do chores, and then Dad would get home from work, and then the real work would start.
Hmm. Yeah.
So when college came along, I'm like, yeah, I'll go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. This sounds like a break.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I went to school. I was always interested in business. Graduated from St. Cloud State. Got a great job with Schwann's. Ended up starting my own marketing agency. Worked with great food companies, great people. Was able to sell that business. And then that gave me a pause to think, what am I going to do next? And at the same time, I was looking at moving my family back to the land where I grew up.
Hmm.
So I was one of those young families, wanted my kids to experience some of that lifestyle, move from the suburbs out to that land, and started researching, what's the thing that I could do to help improve our food system? And there was some research that said the single biggest thing you could do to improve the food system would be to raise grass-fed beef, grazing them holistically on the land. And I thought, I did that as a kid. That's very familiar. I could do that. And that led to this whole journey about learning about the impact, the positive impact that cattle can have on the land in water infiltration, in ground cover, in wildlife habitat, the nutritional density of the food that's produced. And that led to my involvement in Thousand Hills. And since then, we've been working hard for 20 years, and we have a national footprint now. By the way, Twin Cities is a great incubator for a business like ours.
Why is that?
We have the highest per capita food co-ops in the country. So they're very open to clean label, great practices, working with a farmer.
Interesting.
And they
so you had a market right off the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's handed to you.
Right.
But
your story
ourselves.
Resonated and you proved.
Yeah. And so that gave us footing.
Interesting, because so many other metro areas like this, you know, our grocery stores do a great job of helping out local companies get a start too. But that's not necessarily the case all throughout the country for the giant mega chains.
Not at all. No, this small food. Yeah, this
it's
small
hard to get in.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard. And then you have to have the scale to be able to serve them. Whereas with a food co-op, you could start with one, serve them, get some scale. And it's a very low-margin business. Beef's a low-margin business, so you have to have a certain amount of scale just to make it.
To make it happen.
Yeah, to make it happen. So that's what led to our push to go beyond this market. Just to be able to survive, we needed the scale.
Matt Meyer is, well, according to the website, you're the chief renegade.
Yes, that's exactly right. We're all on our team regenerative renegades, and our retailers are regenerative renegades, and even you, Jason.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to learn more about that word regenerative.
Yeah.
I notice, you know, now you're all over the country, and people can order directly from the farm, which I think is really, really interesting, this idea of directly ordering from Thousand Hills. So we'll talk about that, kind of what some of these certifications mean. I'm holding some jerky that has two different certifications on it. So we'll find out more about what that means when you're shopping. We're talking beef with Thousand Hills, Matt Meyer, the owner. As Jerusha Eats, brought to you by the Minnesota Pork Board, continues. Matt Meyer is the owner. He's a farmer. Thousand Hills. It's 100% grass-fed beef. You can order it directly from the farm, which is a change, Matt. When you guys first started, I remember seeing Thousand Hills in restaurants. I think that's probably the first time I had your steak was in a restaurant. But that's a lot of work trying to distribute to individual restaurants, right?
It is a lot of work, and we just had to make a decision on a small team on whether we're going to focus on keeping our retailers happy or our chefs happy.
Yeah.
And my background was in retail, so we kind of leaned that way and just continued to work with the retailers, and they've been great.
Minnesota, you can find Thousand Hills grass-fed beef in all sorts of retailers.
You can, although not as many as you used to.
Yeah.
Because there's been an influx of imported grass-fed that kind of pushes us out because it's cheaper and, you know, depending on the retailer. But, you know, we're available at Coburn's. We're available at the co-ops.
And you're doing more direct, right? So people can get you from the website?
Yes, we definitely ship off the website, but we always encourage people to support our retailers.
For sure.
You know, go to your retailer first if you can find it. Now, really, our e-commerce direct-to-consumer is more based if you can't find a product like ours or our product, then and order it online. But it's so hard. Like, there is so many labeling questions and confusion for consumers. I always encourage people to find that retailer you trust because they're vetting all the producers. Trust me, they vet us and vet us and vet us. And they're looking at every category. So when you're looking at your diet at home and what you're going to buy, how do you become an expert on 20 different food categories?
Right. You can't.
It's so hard. I mean, I have trouble just keeping up with this industry, and I'm in it every day.
Right.
So that's why I always go back, go to the retailer. If you can't find the product you want, then order it online.
You have a couple certifications. You're certified American Grass-Fed, which means what?
Well, the American Grass-Fed Association, first of all, we for a long time didn't have third-party certifications because our protocol was so strict, we couldn't find a certification that encompassed all of our requirements. American Grass-Fed Association tightened their protocol up so that all these things are encompassed in there. So we're non-GMO, we're non-confinement, we're grazing for the lifetime of the animal. You can see that as part of our name, Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed, because not all grass-fed beef is. So the no antibiotics ever, the no artificial
sometimes
hormones.
They get moved into a more confined space and fed
yes.
grass and, or yes. finished with corn.
They can be finished on grain or they can be finished on forage or grass in a confinement area. And if as soon as you do that, to me, then you're not having the positive impact on the land because there is a symbiotic relationship between ruminants grazing on the land and soil health and ground cover and water infiltration and carbon.
And the animals are fertilizing the land and there's kind of there's some benefit from all of that.
Well, yeah. And that builds organic matter in the soil, feeds the bugs in the soil that help the whole process. So that's what gets me up every day.
How do you grass feed in the winter in Minnesota?
That's a great question. So what we do is if you picture a hay field in the summertime, we have more hay and grass that we can consume in May and June. So we graze as much as we can across our 120 paddocks, but then we harvest the hay, roll it up, put it in a plastic ensiled tube, and then on that same field, we cycle the nutrients back by unrolling that round hay bale on the field that it was harvested from. So it's very important to keep those nutrients on the farm and continue to build the soil.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What breeds do you graze?
We're heritage English breeds. We look for a genetic phenotype that'll finish well on grass.
Yeah, I wondered that if it was specific because, I mean, I eat grass-fed and I eat corn-fed. I'll eat it all.
I'm sorry.
I feel fine about it.
Yeah, you look.
but you know, so I don't want to pit one against the other But if you're going to buy grass-fed, you should know what it means. That's sort of my belief on that.
Yeah.
The value of the labeling and the processes you guys use.
Yeah, that's right. And so that was kind of that was a mistake 20 years ago that a lot of farmers made. And in fact, we made that mistake that any cow could be converted to forage and then create a great steak. And what we learned is we needed to go back to heritage English breeds that were moderate framed that would finish up and marble on grass. Because for centuries and centuries and centuries, farmers chose their cattle based on how they looked at the end of the summer, the end of the growing season.
Right.
And so those were the ones that performed best on grass. And so we had this great herd until feedlots came along, and then the model changed as to what their ration was going to be, and the type of animal that would perform well in a feedlot was different than that would perform in grass.
Sure.
So we had to find those genetics that would perform well on grass, a great seed stock bull producers that kept their herds closed for decades that now we could tap into and grow this great beef.
Matt Meyer is the president of Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed, a grass-fed beef. Is there a certain kind of grass you use?
It's not Kentucky bluegrass. It's not like your sod in your backyard.
No, it's not, although that can be one.
It can be part of it,
yes,
right?
Yes. What we really want is a diverse grassland. So we take tilled fields and reestablish a grassland, and we'll plant 16 to 20 different varieties of grasses, forbs, legumes. And we know through nature that that diversity is what she wants, and that's what performs the best. And nutritionally, that's what provides what the cattle need the best. Hmm. So this mix we've found, and we still tinker with it every year, as to what is optimum. You got to have the right amount of energy, the right amount of protein, and then that diversity builds the soil faster.
Interesting. It's so interesting. And the flavor today, do you think the flavor, because some of our fans out there might have tried grass-fed steak and thought, it's too like chewy, or it's has it gotten better, or is it different, or where are we at now?
Well, that's why I explained that cattle breed thing
it's
earlier.
It's the breed, yeah.
Well, it's the breed, it's the practice, it's the forage, it's many things. It's an art and a science. But I'll say everybody's had a bad experience with grass-fed beef.
Yes.
The right brand, I would say, the right raising practices, it has improved. Our grading scores continue to increase. Producers are continuing to learn how to do this better. And, you know, I sample at least 2 steaks a week to make sure that we're on track for that. And they're getting better
tough,
all the time.
Tough work, isn't it? Yeah. It's tough work, Matt. Thousand Hills draws from how many different farms?
50 different family 50. Farms and producers across the country, yep.
And you, how do you make sure that they're doing things the right way? This is this land to market certification?
Yes. Yeah, one is the land. We have 2 certifications. I talked about the American Grass-Fed Association. The other one, land to market, EOV, Ecological Outcome Verification. So we're measuring ground cover, soil health, water infiltration, diversity of plants. And so through a series of measurements that's taken both short-term every year and long-term every 5 years, we have to prove that we're making progress to earn that certification on the land that we're managing.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's data. And that was really important to me, that we would get the data year over year over year showing improvement. And sometimes you don't get improvement. Let's say you have a drought or something, you know, weather incident or
that
maybe a management practice failed. Well, we give the producer a chance to work with us on remedial actions, because we don't want to just kick them out if it's an honest mistake. We want them to learn and improve so we can continue to convert. Where right now we've converted and are managing through our producers over 500,000 acres across the country. It's great to be able to have those producers that they're the salt of the earth. I mean, they really are doing this not for the profit, but for future generations and the food that's going to be produced on their land.
Thousand Hills Lifetime Grazed. You can find it in your co-ops. You can find them online. Matt Meyer, Clearwater, Minnesota. Thanks for coming over. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's an honor being here.
It's terrific.
Yeah, it's great. Pleasure meeting. And by the way, happy birthday. We might be able to get you a steak here just to celebrate your birthday.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt. Thanks so much for listening to the DeRussia Eats podcast on WCCO Radio, 830 AM. We do conversations with chefs, with farmers, with small business people every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. The podcast is available every week. If you enjoyed what you heard, I would love for you to leave us a review. Give us however many stars you can. I don't know, 10, 20 stars would be nice, 5 stars. And leave your feedback as well. It really helps us grow and helps support covering the food community here at WCCO Radio and in the DeRussia Eats podcast. If you'd like to email me with an idea or a question about the restaurant scene, you can email Jason at Odyssey, AUDACY.com. Jason at Odyssey.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on the DeRussia Eats podcast.
Thanks for listening to DeRussia Eats. Dan Cook is our producer. Jason DeRussia is your host. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. DeRussia Eats is a production of Odyssey.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.